So I'm saying all of this to bring out an issue that sometimes people want to fight the devil, but they are fighting him on his turf. You know what I mean? On his own arena. You are playing a away match in the devil's home. And like Zazu said, technically, he can harm you. My very good example. When people want to marry. You know, it's good to draw criteria. It's good to have criteria, you know that. Yes, you know, somebody asked me before about it. We're talking about having criteria when you want to, you know, you're hoping, you're getting married. I said that it makes sense, it is good. Really, it's good. Because you heard this expression before in English language. One man's meat, another man's poison. Somebody asked me that. Can you marry a man you don't like or a woman you don't like? I said, how can you? So what if it's the will of God? I said, that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God. I don't like him, but it's the will of God. What kind of joke is that one? I don't like her, but it's the will of God. You don't like somebody, but it's the will of God. Ha. You've not heard that he's at work within you both to will and then to do, that he makes you want to do it first before he tells you to do it. You don't understand that principle. You say, Pastor Mark, what do you mean? Ah, can somebody disobey God? Yes. Well, if you are going to disobey him, marrying the person has not taken you out of disobedience. He said, if you are willing and obedient, that is when you will do what? Eat the good of the land. You cannot be obedient without being willing and expect any good. You can't. If the willingness is present, or the readiness, it is acceptable according to what a man has. Readiness is what God starts with. Can't come and tell me the joke, I don't like somebody, but it's the will of God. Now, you say, what am I saying? And are you going to walk by your feeling? Now, let's now get that point. What you feel is what we attack first. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Before we start talking about whether it is what we are looking for a wife or husband. Are you catching it? Why should I not like what the Lord likes? Now, are you getting the point I'm making? So when you say, I don't like somebody, what do you mean? Listen to me clearly. I know you all want to know. If you don't like somebody, don't marry the person. You can't do it. I will only accept that under one condition. That is, God comes. Maybe two angels. They come to your sitting room. Organize a conference. And explain in undeniable, thank you, details. That this is, that God says, you don't like how. But I am able to tell you by manifestation of prophecy. That is, because it happens rarely. Good, I have an example. Derek Prince. The second wife he married, all right? His first wife died, and then a few years later, he remarried. Before then, how did he know the woman? One day, he saw in a vision. Yes, he saw this lady in a vision, and the Lord said he should marry her. That was a dream, was a vision, something like that. And he told himself when he woke up, like, why? Why should I marry her? I don't like her. Now, this is a spiritual man. So why should I marry somebody who I don't like? I have no love for. That is, he doesn't dislike her, but he had no feeling whatsoever towards the woman. And then, one day he was in the hotel room, I think it was in Israel, and she had asked to see him about something. When she came into his room that day, he was on a study table. Now, the woman had a back problem, all right? So she didn't used to sit on soft chairs and stuff. So when she entered the room, and to start talking with him, she went to sit on the floor and rested her back against the wall because of her back problem. He said, so he turned from the table where he was to look at her. He said, as soon as he saw her, it was the exact picture that he had in that vision. He said, at that point, a deep love for that woman fell upon him. Intense. Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say. God that even showed him in a vision had to go through the process. I didn't want a man to be grumbling, say, to love and to hold him. Now, wow. Oh, the Lord is good. Now, why did I even get into that? Just what I'm trying to explain is that, so with believers, we work on what is the will first. That is what you love. What do you appreciate? You first align your thoughts with God's thoughts. Let me give you my own practice, because there's the way God does it. God reveals to each person as he fits let me use the word, his life or her life. That's a simple way to put it. Personally, I had three criteria that guided me for a while. Now, I didn't wake up one day and said, what are the things we're going to look for in a woman? No, it's just in the course of discussion. I just said, not a planned thing. Just out of understanding as you're growing. Said, no, I like this kind of thing in a lady. I don't like this kind of thing. Now, there was a time I said, if I'm going to marry, my wife must have a tiny waist. You're laughing. You know why? If I tell you the reason, it's very stupid now. When we watch Ten Commandments, remember Ten Commandments? That story of Moses. The men were generally tall and muscular. And the women were generally much shorter, slim, and small, compared to the guys. And that's why the power of images, those are the things we used to see. So I said, you wanted to reenact that image you saw in that movie. So all the Nefertitis and Cleopatras that were inside Pharaoh's palace, what actually was in my boyish mind was just the Egyptian mermaids that I was seeing. really. But it didn't go correct. God said, relax, you go grow. You will grow. When you grow, you see things that are real. You know that all flesh is grass. 10 ways today can become fat tomorrow. So don't forget that one. That's not an issue. We can liposuction the fat out of it. Doesn't mean anything. That was what I was thinking. But now, as I began to develop spiritually and all of that, I began to realize things that are important. For example, oh God, I came to love the word of God. And I never could stand those that didn't. I just couldn't. We may sit down, we may just do. But that what is driving you is not this book. It's like light and darkness. That's just the way it is to me. It's just like light and darkness. This is what must drive a serious person. That's just my own. That's number one. Secondly, I had discovered that one thing that was very lacking, I think God just gave me that understanding. One thing that was quite lacking until today in most relationships, all right? In fact, I was in Newe yesterday, I was teaching, and I told the guys, I said, there was nothing to wipe the board, no board cleaner, all right? These white boards, I use marker. Now, when it happens like that, and I volunteered, I usually pick like two guys in the class who will be cleaning the board for me because there's no proper listing. So they'll use tissue paper. So I just make a joke. I said, the way I normally do it, I said, okay, the ladies, open your bag. I know you have tissue inside there. Take tissue and give to somebody beside you who must be a man. Then those two guys will now be the one cleaning the board. So I noticed one young lady just told the guy behind, take. They just handed it down to him, take. So I told the guy, don't mind her. She likes you. He said, what do you mean? I said, because look at the way she handed it to you. I said, she likes you. Take. I said, one of the signs you know that a lady is liking a man, sometimes you just start disrespecting him jokingly. Say, Pastor Bank, is that Bible? No, it is not. It's just my observation. Now, let me tell you something. You see a young lady who is very nice. Let us assume that... let's assume he's a pastor that's not married. You know me, I'm married, right? Uh-huh. Let's assume there's one pastor who preaches all the time. He's not married. All the ladies see him. Ah, good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. And then after he visits one particular lady, the third time, it used to be good morning, sir. It's like, Pastor Hannah. it was good morning, sir, before. Then it becomes Pastor Hannah. Then from let's assume the name is Banky. From Pastor Hannah, you know, Banky, how you doing now? it is getting stronger and stronger. Then finally, I beg, don't talk to me, Joe. No, you've noticed it. Am I lying? It's as if the stronger the affection, the more the disrespect. It is against the will of God. I noticed that thing long ago. I found that most women treat every man nicely. The prophet that is without honor is their husband. And they will now say, Americans, they call their husbands by their first name. It's revelation. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's inferior to my Lord. You don't have to agree. It's Bible. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. I tell ladies, if you want to agree to marry a man, then start respecting him. That is his small. That is it. If If before it was like chiki, how now? Jaiko. Once the affection starts getting stronger, start calling start using words like chief, good morning, something like that. Just start warming up for submission so that you won't be shell-shocked the first day after wedding. And he says, and he starts throwing his weight around. And like, when did that one start? Yesterday. When you said I do. Yesterday. You want to know when it started? Yesterday. Nobody talk I do. For your information, you sign away your freedom. Marriage is not a joke. That's why people are breaking every day. Because people don't understand that it's not a joke. Let me explain. You went to school. You studied for 10 years. Came out with a PhD. When you say I do, you just tore the paper. I hope you get an understanding. Now, I said all of this to make my second point. That I just told God, one thing I couldn't stand is disrespect. Any woman who didn't consider me worthy of her honor and respect couldn't be my wife. And third, for me, was simple. This man was called before he was born to be a teacher of the word of God. So if you didn't think I could teach you, what are you doing marrying me? I am not saying I can teach everybody, but one person that at least should believe that I can teach her is the wife I'm marrying. And that's why I say proudly till today. That book you saw, Choices, Key to Destiny, was a teaching I gave my wife on paper. That was a book now. Now, this is the point. I chose those three things out of understanding. It said, I will call my wisdom from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. It was based upon revelation. And after that, I said, short or tall, fat or slim, as God is my witness, was besides the point. You see what I mean? That's how I built my criteria. That's how I built it. So criteria of, I'm from Arochukwu, she must be from Arondizogo, is satanic. Now, get what I'm saying? No? Now, except there is that kind of revelation that God came and said, JK, your wife must be from Arondizogo. In which case, why telling me? Just bring her from there. Is that not so? You don't even have to tell me ahead of time. JK, sorry. I'm just mentioning your name. There must be issues going down. All right? No, really. I'm talking about, I said all of this by trying to explain something. That you don't fight the devil on his turf. This is how you fight the devil on his own, in his own quarters. When you start using things that are not scriptural to think. You hear Christians say that, no, me, I don't like all these middle belt people, I don't like them. No, all these people from the east, all these people from Port Harcourt, all these western people, all these people from Lagos. You just blanket people like that. I was telling my wife that we are not saying, listen to this. In fact, let me just share that one with you to wake you up. I said, these things are barbaric. I said, wait, I'm not talking about things that are barbaric. They are ignorant people that think they have knowledge. Because you've gone to school now, and when you were doing your PhD in genetic studies, you finally found out that the locus that controls the complexion is on chromosome 13, and it's on the short arm region, one band, five others, that joke. That because of that knowledge, you think the DB in your village doesn't have power. May he not face you. You went to Harvard, does not inactivate his power. The day you want to finish your MBA at Harvard, he can decide that you are going to be mentor. And if you are within his grip, mental low, at the start to decrease, you will begin decrease. Colo mentor, instantly. I believe what I'm saying. So I'm not talking about that. This is barbaric. What we are saying is that if any man is in Christ, that the prince of this world comes, that there is no enchantment against Jacob, and there is no divination against Israel. That's what we are saying. We are not saying they don't know how to divine. I am trying to explain that MBA Harvard does not incapacitate the DBA. Only the precious blood of Jesus does. So if we have believed, then we are immune. Whether we did MBA, Harvard or not. People, listen, all those people say that they can't go to their village. All that one they're saying open is a joke. A lot of professors can't cross the last covert to their village. They can't do it. They themselves, they know now. When the man do it like the last time, no be your engine knock. As soon as come up for the man gets the engine knock, car where you buy yesterday, brand new. Then you realize this spirit is the knock engine. You're following my point. So I'm trying to explain something. So we're not talking about something that's barbaric. Like I was explaining to my wife, you know, they have this, at least they don't have it in the West where I came from. I heard it for the first time when I went to university and when I came to this part of the world. This Osu thing, you've heard about it, outcast. And I said, look, it's not about barbaric. I said, let me ask you a simple question. If your daughter wanted to marry, he said, who's the girl? Who's the guy? He said, you know Gehazi, yes. Yes, the grandson of Gehazi. What will you say? Look, let me warn you, this girl. You want to put me in trouble. Did you not hear that Elisha said the leprosy of Naaman will never depart from Gehazi's house and from all the descendants? Is that being barbaric? Or they say, who's the father? He's the son of Joab. He said, Joab. Joab that David said, God, may one that is poor, begging for bread, or has a discharge, or has a serious physical problem, may not be lacking in his house. You never heard that David cursed him? You pull back. And they say, oh, he's a priest, sir. He's a priest, yes. He's of the lineage of Eli. You will jump back. Eli, that God said they must all beg for bread. You know, your father will look and say, I don't care how fine he is. Which car they drive? Say, Lamborghini contact. Listen, that Lamborghini is going to enter water one day. He's a son of Eli. No, I'm bringing out an issue. But that God said every handwriting of ordinances written against the believer has been nailed to the cross. That is what makes a Christian a Christian. He said, who's the father? He says, Eli. He said, now, wow, the house of Eli has been suffered, but thank God this boy is a Christian. Do you get my point? He said, who's his father? He said, he's the grandson of Gehazi. He said, but we thank God that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you don't believe that, you're a Muslim. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when we're talking about not fighting the devil on his turf, if we sit down and start checking, is there any curse on their great-grandfather? Then it means simply, we have not believed what Paul said in the book of Colossians. We have not believed what he said in the book of Corinthians. We have not believed what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53. We have believed nothing. That's all it means. You can't pray with your right hand and withdraw commitment to God with the left. It doesn't happen. I like the way Oswald J. Smith was quoted to have said, he says, either he's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. There's no halfway. We believe him here, we don't believe him there. You understand what I mean by fighting the devil on his stuff? So I want to pray, I'm looking for a wife. No, there are things I don't say. God, you know, I don't know for all this our Yoruba brethren, our Middle Belt brethren, our Igbo brethren, our Hausa brethren, we don't know. Lord, the best thing is so that there will be no quarrel between my father and me. Let her just be from this, you know, this area. You know, there are revelations you will get. Next time you go to church, somebody will say, hey, Jesus, you know, you just read the Bible. And the Lord said that, don't think I have come to bring peace, but I have come to bring a sword to separate a man from his son. mother-in-law from daughter-in-law. And you know it's you they are talking to. See, the will of God will cause quarrel between you and your father. So be it. The man has just spoken to you. And you can't sit down and use worldly principles to want to get results out of God's hands. It does not work. It's called fighting the devil on his turf. I'm talking about walking in divine authority. I'm trying to build up to something and my time is really, really running. I like one thing that Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. The Bible said that, let's quickly read that one and then I will use that one to explain something. The book of Luke chapter 10. One of the things I said before is that, look, when you want to make decisions and writing the criteria, just make sure they don't conflict with the express will of God. We're not discussing what works, we are discussing what is written. I hope we establish that. Christianity is about a doctrine or a foundation laid in sound doctrine. That's what it's about. It's not what works and what gets results. It is what is recorded. That's what the Bible calls the will of God. The will of God is not the one that produces quick results. The will of God is the one that is in accordance with that which was recorded. Are you getting my point? if you read from verse 2. No, let's read from verse 1. It's after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. He sent them into certain places. He sent them. And as they were going to those places, he gave a number of commandments. In verse 9, it says, and heal the sick there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come upon you. They described the power that will accompany them in verse 11. He said, if any city rejects you, wipe your feet. He said, wipe the dust of your feet, and then that will be testimony against them. They now began to curse some cities. Now, the summary of it was that in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I read all of this to bring out a point. When the people were going out, he was the one that sent them. All right? Do you get my point? It was where he sent them to that they were shining. It was when they got to where he sent them that they were able to heal the sick and cast out demons. It was as they were going about the commission for their lives that they discovered that he had given them authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions. Let me explain what he said. If they had left where he sent them and they had decided to go to Samaria, serpents would bite them. If they had said, oh boy, the way we were casting out those demons, I think we should go and cast in some serious businesses and make quick money before we go back home. Serpents forbade them. Do you understand my point? When he sent them, he gave them authority to back the places that he sent them to. Walking in divine authority also, I'm trying to emphasize, you don't go out fighting Satan on his turf where the Lord has not sent you. You have authority when you are walking in God's kingdom. Let me summarize it like that. When you are walking according to God's order, that they had authority because the Lord sent them out. As they were walking according to his commandment, they discovered that they had power on their side. Now let's look at read that Jeremiah chapter 1, and you'll see the point I'm making here. Now, I'll read from verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, I formed you in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, he said, I appointed you. He said, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. He said, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. Be careful what you say. That's what God is saying. Now, please, this is what I want you to notice. Next line. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. Are you getting that? And you shall, he said, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. He said, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. What am I trying to explain? You will see that God called him to do things, and the man said, I am not able. And God gave him authority. He gave him power in a simple manner. How did he give him that power? He said, wherever I send you, go there. Do you understand my point? And when you are going there, whatever I tell you to say, say it. He says, see, they put that one. He said, I have put my words in your mouth. See, this day I have set you over nations. I have given you the authority over kingdoms. You will be able to root them out, pull them down, destroy them, throw them down, and then you can build new ones and plant new ones. How will you do that? If you learn to say only the things that I say. Now, are you getting the point I'm coming to? He said, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That authority is given to believers Only as they see, as God sees, go where God says go, without fear. And when you get there, just say what God says, say. He said, God has not commanded me like this. Don't forget we said at the beginning that we're talking about doctrine, about established truth upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Therefore, everything that is recorded is what God is talking about. Listen. He said, they are filled with influences from the East. That is, when people want to do things in life. I mean, my wife and I were discussing again this morning. And they referred to somebody who's always quoting his father when it comes to marriage principles. It's what the Bible says we are discussing. Are you getting my point? You cannot use "my father said" to draw the grace of God into a home. It doesn't work. Do you follow the principle? How do we draw God's grace into a home? It is according to that which is written. Now, I've used this marriage as an example, so it's good. Let me keep using it also. It was argument everywhere. Because I am persuaded till today, I don't believe that up to 5% of good Christian women understand the meaning of submission. I didn't say women. What did I say? Good Christian ladies. I don't believe they do. Now, you say women are very terrible. No. I believe that more men, let me say, maybe 10% of men don't understand either. That's less than 10% understand. I don't think they do. No, that's my own estimate. That's my own estimation. Why I say that is that a lot of the things I say I never read it anywhere. Don't let me say like that. I didn't see other people observe it. It's not as if I read marriage books and that's what they explained. It was just from reading the scriptures I understood certain things. Go and read what Peter said about marriage in the Amplified Bible. They tell me that, you have to have marriage counseling and know where you press toothpaste from. There are those who press it from the top and some press it from the bottom, and there are some who are in the middle. I have seen marriages that toothpaste broke. God didn't join it. If ordinary toothpaste. He said, what do we do under such circumstances? I don't like saying it openly. Peter said, let the woman see that she adapts herself to her husband. Press it on the top. If that's the way you like it, doesn't kill the toothpaste. He said, is she a rag in the house? No, you don't know spiritual things. If you are like that, and that man offends you, he has God to contend with. Let a man with such a woman commit adultery, he will die. Except the woman begs God for his life. I know what I'm saying. There is a method for generating spiritual power. There is this book. I think every young woman should get it. The Power of a Praying Wife. I am persuaded when it comes to the house, the man can bless everybody. I bless you with long life, health, prosperity. Bless the wife, bless the children. But I believe very strongly about the most potent prayer inside the house when it comes to making petitions before the throne of God is uttered by that woman. Because she's the one that has no defense apart from God. No, the man can put his foot down. You can enter the house. Why are these curtains red? I put my foot down that they must be black. And they become black. If the woman wants red, and she cries to God for red, you will dream of red. Oh, believe me. When you wake up in the morning, you are seeing red. When you want to go on the road, you will see red cars everywhere. When you want to enter your building, you will see red roof. You will, until you put red on that curtain, you no go sleep. Then just come back one day and say, honey, that your red been fine. She won't understand the travail of a man, so what he has gone through. Let me tell you how God handles it. There's a principle. Listen. One thing, if you have power in life, please, I beg you in the name of Jesus, don't oppress people with it. You will die early. Hear it. Tell everybody that has power that one thing you mustn't do is oppress, because that is guaranteed to kill you, kill your children if they don't repent of their father's works. Is that God does it? He said, if anyone oppresses an orphan or a stranger, he said, I, the Lord, I take the life of those who do it. If you read the scriptures, there are three groups of people God tends to personally defend. He calls them orphans, widows, and strangers. There are those are the people that don't they are not the citizens of the nation. They can't call police or soldier or custom or immigration for you. You are the one that can do it to them. The only defense they have is to look up to the sky and say, God, help me. And such people, whether they are Christians or Muslims or pagans, makes no difference. Now, just imagine that. Now, come into the home setting. You put a man in charge, you put somebody and commanded the person to submit to the man. How about God is not stupid? Everybody needs help. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. I know what I'm trying to explain. Because this is how it works. Sometimes people want to use the principles of the world to draw results into the sphere that God commanded them to go and overtake or control. Are you getting my point? They want to use the principle of the world and it doesn't work. Therefore, the Christians experience the same things the unbelievers experience because the Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If the unbeliever doesn't understand submission, so she has bad results and he has bad results, the Christians doesn't understand it, they will get the same results. Do you get my point? We want to have results that will show that God is with us and we are on top. God said, no, we don't start with results, we start with what? Doctrine. We walk in the light of the Lord. We walk in the light of there are things that are recorded. That's what God is saying. I have recorded it. This is the way they are. You have to go and learn it. You know, my wife and I were discussing today. You know, those is when she used to work in UB. There was a time she went for training in Lagos. And so then they will be discussing amongst the women. I hear women say, this is your young lady. She's a young wife, you know, young lady, young wife. That this is the time to get everything from your husband. This one that you're in Lagos. Just tell him that you stayed in hotel. You tell him this, you tell him that. You tell him you have to buy this, you have to buy that. Just put everything together. And you know, he will give you plenty of money. This is your opportunity, okay? It's your opportunity. Then she will look at her. She won't know how to explain. Can a woman steal from her own self? That what are you explaining now? Of course, she'll just smile. I should go and steal from myself. You know, my wife sells things. Sometimes I say, I like this one. Let me take it. I will pay. He said, with which money? No, that's what she tells me. With which money? You want to use my money to pay me and you think I should be excited? You know, the idea is that if you want to take, don't come and be harassing me with I will pay. As if it is not my money you are using to pay me back. He said, but stop. He said, if I want to say, I hate selling things to you. It's like I'm buying from myself. You know, I'm just recycling my money. And then my wife, when she left her employment in UB at that time, you know, that's what we're discussing. She said that most women can't date. And that's what we're saying this morning. They can't. They are not wicked. You must get this point. They are not wicked people. It is not because they are wicked. That's why they can't leave their jobs to take care of their homes. It is because their hearts are not at rest. They don't trust you. You have never given them the confidence to be at rest. When my wife resigned her job, how is she going to cope? She couldn't understand what people were saying. What do you mean? How do I cope? When I was earning the money, what did I do with it? It entered the same purse from which I ate. Now that I'm not earning any money, the purse is still there. Money is still going in there. My husband has not resigned his job. The point is that people say, she tried though. Oh, woman of faith. Listen, it's not a woman of faith. It's a woman who's had trust in her husband. It's faith, but you get what I'm trying to say. She's not looking up to God, you will supply my needs. No, God, you will bless my home. You can't be hiding money, you know, you divide the money into three parts. Your wife can't know about this portion. And you think one day she will resign. Listen, you know what money does for people? It gives them power. No. Ed Cole said, having money is the closest to omnipotence in life. That is, the rich man is more powerful than a serious occultist. When they told him, are you sure you're going to win the election? He said, yes, I have given money to Nigerians. They will give back to me. Give, and they shall be given back to you. He defeated Tofa in his own local government. There was no rigging. Option A4. Look, that's in Tofa's local government. MQ Abiola won election. Listen, emirs were telling their people, go and vote for MQ Abiola. I remember one emir somewhere around Kano, I've forgotten where. He said, this guy is not a true Muslim. He said, what do you mean? When we built this mosque, he gave half of the money. Money is very powerful. Very, very powerful. Why do you think Abacha didn't release Abiola?
It was fear of money. He told Godwin Dabor, go and tell him, I will not release him. They negotiated that he has too much money. He has enough to destabilize my government. He's staying in jail. So the woman who goes to work in the morning and earns her wages and puts into her pocket, she's keeping a bit of independence. That's all she's trying to do. Next time you want to beat her and kill her, she wants to have transport money to run. When you will fling her things out of the window, she wants to have money to rent another house. When you will take another wife, she wants to have money to take care of her children. What's your problem? You tell her she resigned that job? Never. Never. She can't. She can't. I talk about roots and fruit. The root is insecurity. The root is that she's not secure. And it's the duty of the man to make her feel secure. If she's secure, she will give anything up for you. Anything. 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 Listen, the most precious possession of a woman is her body. If she gives it to you, she will give you anything if you make her secure. You want to operate principles like your grandfather who had 5 wives, therefore could never unite with anyone. There's something I'm trying to explain. I said we are servants of a new order. God is through us introducing a new light to the world. Forget results. We walk according to doctrine. But God said, if you walk according to doctrine, eventually you will see the result that the world has never seen before. Let me tell you, young men and young women, listen, run your homes and marriages according to scriptures. I can teach you how to do it. I say boldly, the Bible says, let him that boast in one thing that he knows me. God taught me that one directly. I didn't learn it from anybody. No. I didn't see anybody practice it. Everybody I knew had their money, my money, your money, that kind of. No. From day one, my wife never, that principle was never in the house. Whose money? Do you get the point? Listen, we walk according to that which is recorded. We walk according to that which the apostles and the prophets laid the foundation for us, and which the pastors and teachers are expounding what the apostles and prophets have decoded or have repeated that they heard from the Lord Jesus Christ or they saw in the scrolls of heaven. And the job of the pastor and teacher is to feed the people with understanding, because the word of God can come coded. We walk according to it. Isaiah said, you know, he said, we will see results, the type that the world has never seen before. Listen, God has something to say about business. The day you are writing the, you know, everything has a constitution. You know what I mean? It may not be like that, but you know what I mean? You know why you are doing what you are doing, how you are doing what you are doing. I like one thing this man said, Peter Daniels. He has never been to court. He has never been sued by anybody. A man who has done hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of business. That's a lot. There's something to learn from people like that on how to do business. Listen, when you are writing the principle, if you go and check, he has never been sued. Go and check what he lost. No, you go and check. There are times he gave things up because he doesn't want any lawyer feeling off his back. Yet he stood there knowing that people can't just throw him around anyhow. There are things that God taught him, which is to him was the light of the Lord, which has put him on top where he can say, I have never been sued in a court, law, in a law court. I hope you've gotten my point.